This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.
Excited about you. But man, there's a life in here this morning. You guys are, I mean, fired up. Anybody love Jesus in here this morning? Oh man, it's good. It's good. The acoustics already sound good in this place. And so we're excited about it. You can open your Bible with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And we're gonna read about four verses there. In just a couple of moments, we're going to do that together. Last week, I started a message entitled Atmospheres and Environments, and we're kind of going to move along that line a little bit, but the subtitle of the message, the subheading, so to speak, is Wild at Heart. Someone say wild at heart, and I feel like God really gave me some fresh things concerning that as he is doing kind of, I'm preaching my journey, all right? So I'm preaching my journey where God has me in the time being, and I used to always think that I had to get through a particular season to preach it, but I'm finding out that much of the freshness of what God is doing in me, if I will be honest and transparent with the people that he's called us to help lead, that same anointing can get in you and on your life, amen? And so I'm going to be preaching a little bit of my journey this morning where God has me coming back to. And back to really just kind of pressing into him in a greater way, but in a beautiful way, and in a man, it's delightful, and it's powerful, and it's transforming. And so I'm asking you to listen and not just hear it, but man, on the inside, be active, be believing, be pulling, so to speak, with your faith, and God will do it. And so let's get into this and see what God would have. I just want to pray, and we'll get right into it this morning, as they have already unkindly, I might add, started my time. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. I am so grateful for our tech team, for every person that serves in this church. You are helping make it happen. You're a part of the team and a part of the dream team, and making it happen makes all the difference in the world. So let's pray and get right into the word this morning. Father, we ask that you come in this place. You're already here. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere all the time. But God, we just thank you for your manifest presence, and we thank you for your anointing, the anointing of your Holy Spirit that destroys every yoke and removes every burden. We look to you this morning. We look to you this morning to impart truth, to demonstrate your truth and the Spirit and your power. And Father, we thank you today that lives will be changed for the better, that marriages will be changed for the better, that our prayer lives will be enhanced by, and that there'll be a greater hunger for more of you this morning, that there'll be freshness of anointing and fresh fire released, God, upon our lives, to where that the Christianity that you've asked us to live, Father, that we give all and we receive everything that you have. And Father, live the life that you have for us. For you came to give us life and that more abundantly. And so, God, we declare that in this place. God, we thank you that we'll be not only hearers of your word, but by your grace, we'll be doers of your word and therefore be blessed. Hallelujah. Be blessed in our marriages. Be blessed in our finances. Be blessed in our mind. Be blessed in our bodies. Be blessed. Every area blessed because we love and obey you in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees with this, say, shout amen. All right, Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to read about four verses there in just a moment. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, going to start there in just a moment. Going to make just a couple of opening statements, kind of where we've been last week, and then jump right in. So God's original intent for you and I is that we would live in his presence. God made Adam and Eve, and really he made the garden first, paradise, and then the Bible says that he communicated and he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, and then they would spend time walking together. There was an intimate relationship between God and his man named Adam, and they spent time in the garden. God gave them dominion over everything that was upon the face of the earth, and in fact, God gave him the dominion to name the species of animals and things like this, and you can go through that, but there was an intimate relationship walking with God in paradise in the cool of the day. And this was God's original intent. And this was the first Adam. Well, the first Adam fell. He sinned and he fell. And the Bible calls Jesus the second Adam. And everything that the first Adam lost, the second Adam got back for us. Hallelujah. And gave us more on top of that. If you believe it, say amen. So if God walked with Adam in the cool of the day and they had an intimate relationship where man was exercising dominion and authority and there was this intimate relationship between God and man that was lost through sin but restored through Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, then you and I can now walk with God in an intimate relationship with freshness, with power, with dominion, and live the life of victory that he has planned for us. If you believe it, somebody say amen. So we were created to live in God's presence. God created man to live in paradise. He created man to live in his presence. And so we don't belong in environments of drama all the time and depression all the time and sickness and disease. Those things come against every one of us. And that is when we have to stand upon the word of God and believe the word of God and apply the word of God to our lives and see victory over those trials and situations that come into our lives. But we were not created to live in those environments. We were created to live in the presence of God. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. And so that being said, how many of you know this, talking about atmospheres and environments, that when we come into God's house together and we begin to pursue God and worship God and praise God, the presence of God begins to come in a very tangible way. Even as we're preaching the word of God, the presence of God can continue to increase and come in a tangible, someone say tangible. It's touchable. It's feelable. It does things in your life. It's working in you and on you. That the anointing is not only transferable, the anointing is not only impartable, but the anointing is storageable. Hallelujah. That it gets in you and it stays in you. And so being in the right environments can do things even in your body that you don't even know God is doing. You know, you can be in church and God fix something in your body you didn't even know was going wrong, but it saved you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, even save a life, because the healer, Jesus said, the sick are those that need a physician. And he says, I am the Lord, your physician. So even in service, God can be moving inside of your mind and moving inside. How many of you know the anointing knows exactly what's wrong on the inside of you? That's why I say be in faith even while we're preaching the word, because the Bible says that as Paul was preaching the word, faith rose and he spoke to a man and he had been impotent in his feet and he rose up. Hallelujah. So faith can come, and so have your faith and expectation on high and switched on, because God is moving right now, whether you feel it or not. Many of the things that God does in us is even beyond our consciousness. We don't know that he's doing it right now, but it shows up in our future. Somebody say amen. So we were created to live in his presence. I don't want to re-preach last week. So with that being said, people don't always remember every message that is preached, but they do remember atmospheres where God invades the room. I mean, you can't forget when God comes in by his power and invades the room and the atmosphere, and the atmosphere is more full of God than it is anything else. Hallelujah. How many of you know if the atmosphere is full of God, whatever is going on can get pushed out by him? That's why the Bible says that the train of his robe fills the temple. Someone say fills. Fills the temple. That God is so awesome that he's already here, but he's still coming. Hallelujah. The God is already here, but he's still coming. The measure and the greatness and the weight. That's why the Bible calls the glory the Shekinah glory of God. And it means weighty. It means that there's weight in it. Hallelujah. And I believe that the weight of the glory of God can crush whatever the devil is doing. How many of you know, come on, you put enough weight on an egg and that egg's going to crush. Hallelujah. You put enough weight on a can and that can is going to crush. I mean, you put a vehicle in a crusher and you apply enough pressure and that vehicle can get crushed into small squares because weight, if you put enough pressure and enough weight on something, hallelujah, the sickness can't stand up to the weight of his glory. Woo! Addiction can't stand up to the weight of his glory. Hallelujah. Discouragement can't stand up to the weight of his glory. That's why the devil doesn't want you to come to church. That's why the devil doesn't want you praying. That's why he doesn't want you seeking. Because when you get in the presence of God, the weight of God begins to come upon your life and it'll begin to crush depression, crush addiction, crush problems. Is anybody ready for the presence of God to begin to come in your marriage and crush that dissension? Come in your children and crush that rebellion. Come in your situation and crush what hell is trying to do. Is anybody ready in this place? Lift up a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Somebody say yes. The weight of his glory. The weight of his glory would come in so heavy in the temple and in the tabernacle that the priests could not stand to minister. Hallelujah. We're coming into days where the glory of God will manifest inside of us and inside of services and in our homes, where I believe we'll begin to see the Shekinah glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Shekinah glory is manifesting all over the earth. I was just talking to Ryan, and he said that he's in a Bible school back there, and the Shekinah glory of God came in the room. Eyes open, you can see the glory of God. You can see the smoke of the glory of God. Brother Hagin tells a story. He was on his deathbed. On his deathbed, he had an incurable blood disease and an incurable disease in his heart. Doctor said either one of them would have killed him. In fact, they said he couldn't live past the age of 15, and at 15, exactly what they said began to happen. He became bedfast, couldn't move, weighed under 100 pounds, skin and bones. And he said that he was reading through the Bible. Nobody even believed in divine healing back then in the town that he was in. And he found Mark 11:23, and all the preachers said that healing has passed away. All the miracles have passed away. God doesn't do that anymore. And so then he got his hopes up because he read in the Bible that Jesus was healing. Jesus was going about teaching, preaching, and healing. Is that what the Bible says? That's what it says, teaching, preaching, and healing. And then it says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if he's doing it back then he's doing it today. So he's reading this and getting encouraged. But the preachers would come and say, no, all that's passed away. Because if we're not careful, we'll allow experience to override the Word of God. But the word of God is true whether my experience lines up with it or not. And so he's reading and he got discouraged and then thought, well, then I can't be healed and I got to die. He began to picture himself dying. But then he kept reading. He said sometimes it would take him an hour or 2 hours to turn one page. That's how weak he was. But he kept reading. He said something inside of him told him that his answer was in this book. Hallelujah. In fact, he died twice and started going down to hell because he was not born again. He was a part of a church, huh? He was a member of a church, but he was not saved. Just because you go to a church doesn't mean you're born again. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Become born again. Get out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Then you're saved. Hallelujah. Then God lives inside of you. And he said he died twice, heart stopped beating, started going down to hell. He tells the experience there that a creature came to meet him. He said, I'd never read it yet, but the Bible says that hell at thy coming cometh to greet you. And so he began to take him in that place, and he said he heard a voice. He said it was so black you couldn't see anything. It was just black. You could cut it with a knife. He said he heard a voice up above him. He couldn't make out what the voice said, but it was a male voice. And he said when he heard that voice, that creature that was ushering him into hell, he said he could see the flames of hell flickering on the wall. And he said when he heard that voice, it was as if suction began to pull him back up. Back up, back up, back up. And he said, went through the darkness. Then he says, I could see the lights of earth. I could see the lights of earth. He says, then it brought me up and I saw my body lying there in the bedroom that I was in. And he says, it was as if I dove back in my body from the feet. Dove back in his body, did that twice. Finally understood, God, I'm a member of the church. I'm a faithful member of the church. I go to the church. Why am I going down? Why am I going to hell? He found out you must be born again. He got born again. Hallelujah. And then he says, so I guess I just got to die. He says, but that's okay because at least I'm going to heaven. At least I'm going to heaven. And so he kept reading. Well, healings passed away. Miracles have passed away. And then he read Mark 11, 23. 22 and 23. And it says, have faith in God. Is there any faith in God in this room this morning? Have faith in God. Somebody says, I need answers for my marriage. Here's the answer. Have faith in God. I need answers for my money. Here's the answer. Have faith in God. God, we need revival. Here's the answer. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. Can anybody testify that when you didn't know how the problem was going to turn around, you didn't know how the money was going to show up, you didn't know how the healing was going to come, but one thing you did have, you had faith in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you had faith in God, you saw the miracle come into being. Hallelujah. And so he read it. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe. Someone shout believe. Believe that those things that he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever things he says. And here's what God said. He said, Kenneth, he said, they say healing's passed away. They say miracles have passed away. But did you ever hear anybody say, faith has passed away? He says, because if faith has passed away, then nobody can be saved. Nobody can be healed. Nobody can be delivered. And he said, no, Lord, I haven't heard them say that faith has passed away. And then he came to Mark chapter 5. Woman, I'm not even preaching my message, but is this all right? Woman with the issue of blood, had the issue of blood for 12 years. It spent all that she had on physicians and grew no better, but rather grew worse when she heard about Jesus. Feel like preaching for a minute. Is there anybody here that says, my life changed when I heard about Jesus? My marriage changed when I heard about Jesus. I was on drugs and about to lose my mind, but I heard about Jesus. And when I heard about Jesus, I believed on him, and he came into my life and set me free, set my feet upon a rock. Hallelujah. Woo! And so she said, and he heard about Jesus, and the Bible said that she began to break every rule, got out of the house, began to press into the crowd, and she said to herself, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. The good news is you can still touch Jesus with your faith this morning. Whatever need you have, you can still touch him with your faith. Hallelujah. Did you hear me, church? No matter what you have need of, you can still touch Jesus with your faith. And whatever need you have, he can meet that need. Hallelujah. Faith pulls the power of God out of Jesus and right into your situation. Hallelujah. Your faith is the conductor for the power of God. And so it says this, and the Bible says that she pressed in and she touched him, and Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue, power leapt out of him and went into her. And he said, who touched me? And they said, Master, everybody's touching you. He said, no. Somebody touched me with faith. That's why when you come to church, Sylvia, you can't be concerned what your neighbor thinks. You can't be concerned what religious people think about your shout, because you know if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where in the world would I be? Am I preaching to anybody in here? You say, I got a testimony of what God has done in my life. Hallelujah. Woo. And here's what she said. Here's what Jesus said. He said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." Your faith has made you whole. Here's the good news. Your faith can make you whole. Wholeness means sozo. It means, means shalom. Save and salvation means sozo. Wholeness there, whole means shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Okay? Jesus said, "I know you lost 12 years, but I'm about to make you whole." All right? And so here's what Jesus said. "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." And here's what God told Brother Hagin. He said, okay. They say miracles passed away. They say healing has passed away. They say you have to die. In fact, a preacher came and patted him on the head and said, "Just hold on, my boy. In a few more days, it'll all be over." That's all he knew. That's all the pastor knew. Probably not a bad man. Probably loves the Lord. But that's all he knew. But thank God, the Word of God teaches us that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, that no matter what situation you're facing, there is still hope. Hallelujah. And so they said, miracles passed away, healings passed away, but has faith passed away? He said, "No, Lord, none of them have told me faith has passed away." He says, "Well, then look at that verse again, because Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. So if faith hasn't passed away, then you can be healed today." And the Bible says that, hallelujah, Bible says that, as he read that, it buoyed his faith again, and he said, okay. He said, "What do healed people do?" Well, at this time in the day, healed people would be out of bed. At this point, he is paralyzed from the waist down, can't even barely move his arm. And he said his legs, he'd reach down and feel them, and he could feel the bone, and there was no muscle on his calf at all, and he'd just start weeping. He said, because it'd say the evidence of the natural would just come on him, and he'd say, "How are you ever going to walk?" He said he'd weep. He said he felt his legs. There was nothing there. He said, but when he read this, he says, "I believe. I have faith." He says, "Well, what would healed people do?" He said, "They'd be up." He said, so he took his legs, and he picked them up, and he turned them over on the side of the bed, and he said it sounded like chunks of wood hitting the floor. Boom. And he said, he stood up, and he said, "I want you to know before heaven, hell, and earth, I believe, I receive my healing." And he said, nothing happened. But he declared it again. "I want you to know before heaven, hell, and earth, I believe I receive my healing." And he said, as he's standing there holding the bed, he said something hit him on the top of his head and began to roll all the way down on his shoulders. He says when it got to his legs, he had no feeling. He had been paralyzed for the better part of a year. He said it felt like a million needles stabbing him. He said it hurt so good. Healing came into his body. And from that point on, things begin to shift. But here's what's got me start the whole conversation about the glory, is that the glory of God began to fill the room to where that his grandma tried to come in the room. She could see the glory. The grandma tried to come in the room and would bounce off of the glory. We're coming into days where we're going to experience the supernatural power of God. Hallelujah. And unbelievers are going to have to say, God, he is God. Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So atmospheres and environments are absolutely, they matter. They absolutely matter. And so we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the remaining few moments that we have. All right. Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I'm probably just going to try to end, because there's no way I can get through this. All right. So in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. Someone say wilderness. Wilderness of Judea. Repent. Someone say repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken about the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Someone say prepare. Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of Jesus Christ manifesting and starting his earth ministry, beginning to make all things new, healing, delivering, saving. This was the Jesus that John the Baptist was preparing make his path straight. Another account of that verse says, in the gospel, says that John's voice, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. John's voice prepared the way of the Lord, and it made crooked places straight, high places low, and low places high. All right, so this was John's voice. Now, John himself was clothed in camel's hair, and with a leather belt around his waist, his food was locusts and wild honey. Now, John was the forerunner to Jesus. He was the one who came preaching the gospel of repentance. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, turn from your ways, from sinful ways, because Jesus the Christ is coming and you need to be ready for him to come. So John's voice prepared the way for Jesus Christ to show up. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so as I'm reading this, God begins to talk to me about a couple of things, and I'll try to get a couple of thoughts over to you in our remaining time. Number one, John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, repent means change the way you think. It involves identifying sin, say, this is sin in my life, and turning from it. It involves this, but it also involves changing the way you think about that particular sin or about whatever it is you're doing wrong. Because some of you know, if you do the same thing over and over expecting different results, that's called insanity, right? But if you let God renew your mind and change the way that you think, begin to think God's thoughts, begin to think God the way God thinks about that, whatever's going on wrong in your life, that is how you change the direction of your life. In other words, without a change of mind, you'll never change direction. So Jesus said, change the way that you think. Repentance means changing the way that you think. And what does that mean? It means renew your mind with the word of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So John is saying, you need to repent. You need to change the way you think. You need to begin to think God's thoughts, make his thoughts your thoughts. Because here's what happens. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's reachable. It's within reach. It's touchable. It's attainable. You can live in, experience, you can partake of, and distribute the kingdom of heaven if you will change the way that you think. Christians are agents of another world. The Bible calls us ambassadors for Christ. We are citizens of heaven. We are to bring heaven into the environment around us. When we pray, heaven should come. Come on. When we pray, hell should leave. When we pray in impossible situations, God comes on the scene. We bring the kingdom of heaven into this earth. That's why he said, pray, my Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Someone shout on earth. As it is in heaven. See, so we're to bring heaven into the earth. So we bring heaven into the earth. This is why we are Christians. We are in this world, but not of this world. So he said, John said, repent. Change the way you think. Let me renew your mind. Let God renew your mind. Because if you change the way you think and you have a renewed mind, hear me, the impossible becomes logical. The impossible in your marriage, in your family, in your physical body, in your future, that thing that is impossible for you to own a home, to own houses, come on somebody, to be the lender, not the borrower, this thought that is impossible for you, it becomes logical to the mind that is renewed. It is the renewed mind that says, if God be for me, who can be against me? I feel like preaching here just for a moment. It is the renewed mind that says, he bore my sicknesses and carried away my pains. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I was healed. It is the renewed mind that says, my God shall meet all my needs according to his riches and glory. It is the renewed mind that says, I know there's bills stacked up, but my God shall meet every need according to his riches and glory. It is the renewed mind that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in some green
pastures. He restores my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For God is with me, my rod and my staff, they comfort me. It is the renewed mind that says, 1,000 shall fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near my dwelling. It is the renewed mind that says, he shall satisfy me with long life and show me his salvation. It is the renewed mind that says, I shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It is the renewed mind that says, all things are possible to them that believe. Are there any believers in this place? It is the renewed mind that says, if God be for me, who can be against me? It is the renewed mind that says, no weapon formed against me is going to be able to prosper. It is the renewed mind, hear me, that steps into the realm of God. When you have a renewed mind, the kingdom of heaven travels on the renewed mind. Huh? Thoughts precede believing. If I think right, I'll believe right. If I believe right, heaven's going to show up in my life. Okay? So, this is key. Now, this verse is what got me started on this message. And here's what he said. He said, repent. Change the way you think. Get God's thoughts. Start thinking God's thoughts every day. Renew your mind. The renewed mind is not a fearful mind. The renewed mind is not a doubtful mind. The renewed mind is not concerned with lack or insufficiency. The renewed mind is confident. My God is my provider. The renewed mind is a faith-filled mind. The renewed mind knows failure is simply not possible. Okay? This is the renewed mind. And here's what he said. When you have a renewed mind, that's why y'all need to read your Bible. Because without reading your Bible, you won't have a renewed mind. Now, I do want to say this. Listening to podcasts is a huge start. But don't just leave it at listening to podcasts. You should be. Every believer should listen to one faith message or message that's going to build faith every day. Okay? Well, I listen to K-Love, you know? And they have encouraging words for a moment. They do. And they're helpful. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord for the encouraging moment with Louise Palau. I don't know who it is. Come on, somebody. James Dobson. Right? White, upper middle class, granola eating listeners. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Eat your granola. Hallelujah. I don't care what you do. But you can't just listen to K-Love and think, I'm okay. Listening to podcasts, we should be listening to at least one hour, one teaching every day. Woo! Y'all getting quiet. Y'all was shouting about the kingdom of heaven. Yes, Lord. Shut up. Come on. At least be listening to an hour a day, and then we need to be letting our eyes rest on the scriptures. Bible says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. God spoke to Kenneth Copeland. He said, Kenneth, you've been quoting the word. You've been standing for finance. You've been standing for healing. You've been standing whatever. He says, you're quoting it, and that's okay. He said, but quoting it is like standing near a potato and expecting the potato to nourish you. He says, in order for the potato to nourish you, you need to put the potato in you. Looking at the scripture is how you put it in you. Right? I have eaten your words. And so looking at the word, reading a chapter a day, renewing the mind, listening to a podcast, renewing the mind, praying. Because while you pray, the Holy Spirit is bringing those truths to your mind and helping renew your mind. Somebody say amen. You'll notice yourself incredibly different when you have your mind renewed, because you're practicing these principles, not because you have to, but because you want a burning relationship with Jesus, and you know that when I do repent, when I do change my mind, when I do renew my mind, the kingdom of heaven will show up in my life. The most frustrated Christians in the world are the Christians who never see the kingdom of heaven show up. Because when you're born again, You're born of heaven. You are born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, the ever-living, abiding word of God. When you're born again, you're born of the substance of heaven. So you are to, there is something in you that knows when problems show up, I should be able to look to my God. Now, what is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the king and his dominion. I'm going to let that sink in. Some of you are like, what? Who is the king? Jesus. In fact, he is the king of kings. So when the kingdom shows up in that situation, what we're saying is that Jesus and his dominion show up. So when I pray over my baby who is sick in the name of Jesus, and a healing comes to that baby, what happened was the kingdom of heaven was just released in that baby. When I pray over my finances, and I'm a tither, good Lord. I'm a tither, I'm a giver. Stuff happens. Doesn't look like it's working. But I pray, God, I thank you. You've given me the opportunity to tithe and to give. Now, you said the windows of heaven are open over my life. I thank you that that's happening, and I thank you that these bills are paid. And you see in the next weeks and months, money come in, finance come in, blessing come in. What happened over those bills? The kingdom of heaven just showed up. The king and his dominion. What happens when a king makes a decree? When a king says, I'm going to give you this much, and I'm going to do this, and we're going to do this as a nation, all he has to do is speak it, and the king, and the nation begins to change. Things begin to happen. When the king shows up and his dominion And John said, repent, change the way you think, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here's what God said to me. You ready? I said, you ready? Yeah. Y'all don't sound ready. Sound like you're ready for lunch, huh? Come on. Here's what God said. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here's what God said to me. He says, our hands should be releasing the king. If the kingdom is at hand, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven lives within you. But just let's stay with this scripture. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when I read that word hand, God said, your hands should release the kingdom. Your hands should release the king and his dominion into situations in your life and into other people's lives and situations. Why would unbelievers want your king? Because they see his kingdoms better than the one they live in. God in heaven. Did anybody just hear the words that came out of this cracker's mouth? Good Lord, that's good. I need me some of that. Unbelievers should look at you, look at me, look at us, and go, the kingdom, the king and the kingdom that shows up. And of course, they're not going to know, oh, that's the king and the kingdom. They're not going to know that. What I'm saying is, they look at your life and they see peace, they see blessing, they see anointing, they see favor, they see God. They don't know it's God, but they see him on you, and then all of a sudden they look in their hell and they go, that looks better than this. Why would unbelievers want your king and his kingdom? Because they're seeing his kingdom show up in your life, and they say, whatever they got, I need to hook up with that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. All right. So, is this helping anybody so far? It's fresh. It's not the Reader's Digest, I promise you. Here's what God said. He said this. Hallelujah. You can't have the kingdom without the presence of the king. You can't have the kingdom without the presence of the king. When the kingdom manifests, his presence is manifest. So when we talk about living in, every believer should be living in, walking in, partaking of, and distributing the kingdom of heaven in their everyday lives. When you pray, the kingdom of heaven should show up. Come on, somebody. This is the Bible. Let me give you the keys of the kingdom. Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Oh, heaven's about to show up in your earth. If you will take the authority and the dominion I've given you and begin to use that by faith.
Come on, man.
You're not just a Christian that goes to a church. You are a believer, child, a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And when you pray and when you walk, we should be releasing heaven. All right? And here's what he said. Here's what he said. Here's what he said. He said, repent, change the way you think, have a renewed mind, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, every Christian should be releasing the king with their hands, releasing his presence, his kingdom with their hands, with their life. Here's why he said, because lifestyles that behold the king can release the king. I sense his presence coming in a strong way. Lifestyles that behold the king, not just behold ESPN. I got nothing against ESPN. I watch it now and again still. But I'm telling you, when you start falling in love with Jesus again, ESPN becomes less and less relevant. I'm not saying it's wrong. Enjoy yourself. Have a good day. But do it after you seek ye first the kingdom. What I'm finding out, here's revelation. I can't release the kingdom unless I seek the kingdom first. Y'all ain't saying much. Y'all ain't saying much right there, but that's revelation. That's fresh stuff, homie. You know what I'm saying? That's lock yourself in a room for a day and see what happens. And it's not because of me. I'm going to tell you, because there's a whole bunch of times I haven't done that. I stand where I stand by the grace of God. What I am trying to tell you is, here's what God told me. I can't even get it out fast enough. It's coming so fast. Here's what God told me. He said, I gave you the most expensive thing ever purchased on the planet. Now I expect you to give something expensive to me. Worship can be expensive. Faith can be expensive. Praise can be expensive. Because you don't always feel like doing it, but you give it to him because he's worthy of it. Hallelujah. Here's the way he said it. He said, I gave on the cross. He gave Jesus. He says, I gave what was the most expensive for you, so I expect something expensive from you. Wow. Come on, are you catching this? This is one of those messages that you know, my God, when I do pray, when I do read my Bible, when I do speak the word and confess the word, the kingdom of heaven is released. And how many of you want the kingdom of heaven showing up in your life? Not just lying dormant within you, but showing up in your life on a daily basis. Hallelujah. This is the pathway to that. Man, I don't know how the time keeps getting away from me, man. You guys are just good listeners. Hallelujah. All right, because there's so much here. So much here. Is this helping anybody? Okay, so then. Do we only want to come to church to be patted on the butt? Or do we want to come to church? That wasn't literal. I played sports, okay? I played sports, and my coaches used to always say, you want to be patted on the butt for doing something wrong? You want to cry? There's no crying in basketball. Football or baseball, Tom Hanks, come on, made it famous. Come on, somebody, right? Right? In other words, do we want to just come to church to hear, you're doing okay? I don't want to just do okay. I want everything God provided for us. And so this is a message with an incredible promise that you and I can release the kingdom of heaven if I'll start spending more time with the king. I've never spent quality time, intimate time with the king on a daily basis and not been able to release the kingdom. It's only when I'm not spending time with the king in intimacy that I'm not able to release the kingdom. Y'all ain't saying much. A little bit deeper dive this morning, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Golly, I wish I had another hour, man. How in the world is it 11:22? I mean, this started at 10:30, right? Hey, hey, did they give it to me up there? They did. I ran through that extra 15, didn't I? Okay. You guys got time for one more thought? The Lord's here, man. Look, see, my sister came up to the key. She's like, shut the dude up. Shut him up, man. But see, I hope you understand, I'm not just trying to communicate something to you. I'm trying to release something to you. Whew. Wow. Here's what, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So this word is also going to challenge you. If you're bored in your relationship with God, I want to testify I've been there. Okay? And whoever says they haven't, they're just a lying spirit. No, I'm just right? It's never his fault. Right? Never his fault. He's always amazing. He's always beautiful beyond description. He's always the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's always above and beyond what I can think or imagine. He's always incredible. So if I'm bored, it's not him. It's me. Okay? And here's what I'm going to try to do this. I feel like maybe. Here's what God said to me. Because John was different than everybody else in his generation. He dressed different. The man wore camel's hair and a leather belt. He was country before country. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go put this belt on. It was cool. Camel's hair, leather belt. Lived in the wild. Lived in the wilderness. And here's what God said about the wilderness. He just said he lived in a hotter environment than everybody else. Not just hotter temperature-wise, hotter like God alone with God, intimacy, fire of God hotter. Come on, somebody. Because when you get alone with God, you can't help but start getting stirred up and get fresh fire on the inside of you. Hallelujah. How many of you know I'm telling the truth? You need fire? Just get next to the heat. You need some more heat? Get next to the fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Yeah? And so he camel and camel's hair and leather belt. And so he looked different. He lived different. He lived in a different environment than everybody else. And here's what God said. He said, you and I should be living in a different environment. We should be living in a hot, secluded place. What I mean by that, there should be a time every day where we go get alone with God in a private place where he can fill us full of fresh fire. Hallelujah. Because when we do, it was the fact that John lived a different lifestyle that qualified John to inherit a voice that would release Jesus. Your lifestyle will either disqualify you or qualify you from releasing Jesus into situations. What if we didn't have to call the pastor? I'm not saying not to call the pastor, but what if we didn't have to? Because we raised up a bunch of sons and daughters who have spent time with God themselves, who when they show up in a situation, they release Jesus. Okay? And so he dressed differently. He lived differently. Because of that, it gave him a voice that prepared the way. And I could say so much about that. But here's living in a hot place. Living in a hot place where you spend time with God in a private seclusion. Okay, there's a time in my day I go get alone with Jesus. Come on, somebody. And the fire in his eyes and the fire in his word and the fire in his belly begins to get in me. When I talk about fire, it just means passion. It just means freshness. It just means zeal. There's something in you that wants more of God. Somebody shout yes. He lived in this place of hot, secluded place, a place where he got alone with God. And because of that, the Bible says this, church. The Bible says that here's what his diet. His diet was locusts and wild honey. Here's what God said to me. He said, when you live in a hot enough environment, it'll change your appetite. So you're not hungry for unholy things anymore. You're not, oh, come on, man. You're not hungry for just another vacation and just another house and just a newer car and just nicer clothes and just to be, you know, around the popular and the who's who of the city. Who cares about all that? I can be in a hot place. I can live in a hot place and influence all of that for him instead of letting all that get off on me. So here's, notice that, man. If I live in a hot enough place, it can change my appetites. What are you hungry for that you shouldn't be hungry for?
that all right? I think it's all right. All right? So, change his appetite. Here's what God said. Man, I want to get to that part so bad, and God just said, don't do it. Whew. I wasn't able to get to the wild, that heart part, but I promise you it's significant. I promise you it's significant, man. God started showing me stuff yesterday he has never shown me in my life. And my heart is that it's not just God showing me something, but that it's God inviting me to a higher lifestyle. Hallelujah. Guess what God's saying is, hey, I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to a higher place. There's more for you. There's more for your family. There's more for your family. There's more of God for every area of your life. Whatever area of your life is not full, you just need more of the fullness of God in that area. And how many of you know, church, for 6 years of my life, I lived in a place with God where his presence and his glory, Dan, made up for every shortcoming, insecurity, failure, because my heart was seeking him first. I mean, grace would just show up in my marriage and fill in the gap. When I had been stupid, it wasn't my heart to be stupid. Come on, somebody. But my heart was so infatuated, so in love with Jesus, spending time with him, like grace would show up in our finances. A big debt would show up out of nowhere. A bill would show up out of nowhere. There's no way on the planet I could pay for that by myself. And just here come financial grace. Just swallow it up. Can you feel? I sense the presence of God. Times in my life where in ministry or in life, in health, in different areas of my life, stuff would show up and just the power and the presence of God, just sweep it and swallow it up. And I got discouraged. And I began to go down a path where that was no longer the case. And every insecurity, shortcoming, place of lack, insufficiency in my life, began to show up because I was no longer clothed in his glory. Is this making sense to anybody? I don't want you. I'm going to tell you, man. Life is so hard in the place where I'm not seeking him first. Every insufficiency, insecurity, inadequacy in me. Guys, I'm telling you, I fought a little bit of insecurity during that time, a little bit, but most of the time, you walk in such a confidence. You walk in such a boldness. You walk in such love. Come on, you understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. I hope you're hearing it the way I hear it on the inside. Because when I wasn't doing that, every insecurity, every insufficiency, every inadequacy, it's glaring. God, how do I even do what you've called me to do with this insecurity and this inadequacy and this insufficiency? How do I do it? God says, get back to seeking me first. Because you won't lead your family well unless you seek me first. You won't be the man of God I've called you to be. You won't fulfill your destiny. You won't see the miracles and the change in this city unless you get back to seeking me first. Amen? Hallelujah. I've done my best to communicate what I could in the time that I have. I didn't get through it all, but I believe God's moving. I said, I believe God's moving. God's inviting us as a church to another place, inviting you individually to another place because he wants his glory to begin to show up in every area. He wants his kingdom to show up in every area of your life where there's inadequacy, where there's insufficiency. Are you with me? Where there's insecurity, he wants his kingdom, the king and his dominion, just begin to show up. And it doesn't mean things will be perfect, but it means the stuff that came against you that took you months and months and years to get over, I'm telling you, in a matter of weeks, it'll be done. Hallelujah. Come on. He's God. He wants to invade every area of your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've done my best to communicate your truth to your people. And I thank you for that. Bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, on the count of three, I simply want you to lift your hand and we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. Secondly, say, you know what? I've known God, but I'm far from him. On the count of three, I want you to lift your hand. Hallelujah. Secondly, I'll add this to that second invitation. I know
God's calling me to a higher place, and I want to follow him to that higher place. I want more of his presence in my life. I want to know him more intimately. I want to live by faith and not by sight in the King and his kingdom. If that's you on the count of three, either one of those invitations, lift your hand high. One, two, three, lift them up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hands up all over the room. God, we give you praise. God, we give you praise. Come on, everybody in this place, let's pray this prayer together. Say this. Say, Father God, forgive me of my sin. I believe Jesus Christ died and was raised for my salvation. I confess Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. By your grace, turn away from my old ways, and I turn to you in Jesus' name. Forgive me of every sin and empower me to live a life that pleases you. I believe, I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give Jesus some praise in this house. Come on, let's do a little better than that celebration. Hallelujah.
This podcast is brought to you by Pastor Terry Green and Celebration Church in Salinas, California. For more information, you can visit us on our website at celebrationchurchsalinas.cc.